isolating me from a world of company. The frosty window panes shield the cold away, leaving me alone with the winter's heart of stone.
Lady on the Prairie, the title track from the new album by Lizzie Hoyt, and she is my special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. We are at the Folk Music Ontario Conference. We're in our little mobile studio that some people might call just a hotel room, but it's cozy here, and it's great that Lizzie has joined us today. It is now Saturday morning after a long night at the conference. Lots of showcasing going on into the night. They typically run to around 3 in the morning, and then people may jam for a lot longer. So we had a chance to meet Lizzie yesterday, and I thought, Lizzie, it's great to have you here.
Thanks.
But I'm going to give you the question to talk about yourself first.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about where you're from and how you got into music.
Well, I'm based in Alberta. I'm living in Calgary right now, but I was born in Edmonton. And both my parents are musicians, so people often ask me how I got into music, and I don't really feel like I ever got into it because when I was born, I was in it already. Yeah, so both my parents are professional musicians, although they do work in the classical end of things. So I'm branching out a little bit into the folk world. And basically, you know, took music lessons when I was little. When I was 15, I got my first job as a fiddler, backing up another artist. She was a fabulous country and Western singer by the name of Eli Barcy. And I toured with her for 10 years. I played with her, both in Canada and the States. And during that time, I basically started writing my own songs and wanting to share my own music and front a band. So I recorded my first CD and did some shows, and basically it evolved from there.
So what instruments do you play?
My first instrument is the violin. So I'm a fiddler. And in terms of style, it's a little bit of a sort of Celtic-rooted fiddling. I also play the guitar and the harp and the mandolin. So a little mixture of everything.
So it's interesting that you mentioned that your parents are classical musicians. Do they branch out into folk and other genres like jazz in their spare time? And I presume they're working with orchestras, are they?
Well, my dad is retired. Yeah, he was a French horn player and conductor with the Edmonton Symphony. He's retired now and actually does things. He's volunteered with Habitat for Humanity. He's really enjoying doing actually things sort of outside of music and just sort of engaging with the community in other ways. My mom is a pianist and she taught for many years. She taught at the University of Alberta. And although they don't really, I wouldn't say they don't work in other styles, but both of them grew up in small communities. And my mom, you know, used to have to chord for my grandpa's fiddling. So she's a fabulous old time accompanist.
So your grandpa is a fiddler as well?
Yeah, he was a fiddler, and my granny played the piano. And in fact, my granny and grandpa started dating when they had a dance band, you know, post-war.
And that was all out in Alberta?
Yeah, yeah. They toured around and played weddings on Saturday night, and I think they got $5 each. But my grandpa got $7.50 because he hauled the sound system and booked the shows. So
what made you want to gravitate towards folk? I mean, imagine when you were trained, that typically would be a classical training initially for violin?
Yeah, initially did classical lessons, but also learned some fiddle tunes for family gatherings. To be honest, it wasn't a decision I made. I think it was a combination of enjoying listening to the Rankin family and Natalie McMaster. And you know, that music was always around in our house. And then getting the opportunity to start working as a fiddler for this country and Western singer just sort of led me down that path, I guess.
So when did the first album come out?
2007. And that was largely just sort of a smaller project where I was still working a lot as a side musician for other artists. And doing a few concerts of my own, but my first sort of, I would say, more serious career CD was 2010.
And what was the name of that album?
That was called Home. Okay. Yeah.
And then the new album, which we listened to the title track from at the start of this interview, that's New Lady on the Prairie, and that's really, really new, right? It's
yes.
Just released a few days before this conference.
Exactly. We sort of gave it a release date of October 1st for when it was going on sale, but the CD release concerts are actually next weekend, October 24th and 25th in Edmonton and Calgary, and then I hit the road in November.
And I think you've already accumulated quite a good bit of press in relation to your music generally, but also this album. And am I right in thinking that you're also a Canadian Folk Music Award nominee as well?
Yeah, that was for my album Home. And that was an incredible honor, just to be recognized on, you know, the same sort of level as these great Canadian artists. So, yeah, no, this album is starting to get some press, like you mentioned, and it's always a thrill because the projects are such long-standing projects, you know. I was recording this in January. I've been writing some of these songs since 2011. So when it's finally complete and when people are offering their support for it, it just is fabulous.
So we started off with the title track from the new album. Remember, the new album is entitled New Lady on the Prairie. Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that song? And I'm curious about the title too.
Yes, sure. So on this album, there are a few history inspired songs, storytelling songs, and this is one of them. This is a story that my granny has told me many times about her aunt. So my great great aunt immigrating to Canada from Ireland in the early 1900s. And the story goes that Aunt Belle got on a boat in Ireland as a young woman, and she came across the ocean. She arrived in Canada and she took a train all the way across Canada to Edmonton. And then she got on a horse and buggy and went north of Edmonton to the bushlands of Alberta to Homestead. And when she finally arrived at this little log cabin in the middle of nowhere where she was going to be living, she sat on the front porch and cried.
You know, I always wonder when people tell the story about going to the little log cabin, it's like, I always think, well, you know, was the little log cabin there in advance? And was there a realtor involved? Because it always seems, well, it's always like, you know, you could understand saying, well, I went out and, you know, and
yes.
Leaving aside the issues of indigenous population that can sometimes be forgotten in these situations. But it always fascinates me when, you know, when people say, well, yeah, that we went to a little log cabin. It's like, okay, well.
Well, you know. Her husband had gone out first.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And so he had built the cabin. Yeah. So when she really did arrive at the cabin and was like, well, this is where I'm going to live.
Yeah, and it's a very romantic story and a beautiful, beautiful song. Now, on this album, you have tracks that, you know, obviously there is, I would say, a very strong traditional feel to it, but mm-hmm. and also that Celtic feel. And I think the fact that you are a fiddler as well really allows you to seamlessly move between the two. But there's also quite a lot of country and bluegrass in there. Is that your intent, to try and make sure that you're straddling genres as well?
Absolutely. Like I mentioned, yeah, my fiddling is sort of rooted in Celtic tradition. I love writing songs that sort of sound traditional. So, for example, one of the songs on this album, White Feather, I wrote as a acapella ballad, a storytelling ballad, like you would hear in these fabulous traditional Irish songs that tell stories. But at the same time, I wanted to work with John Reichman, who's a fabulous bluegrass mandolinist. And I love the idea of having just these influences present in your music. I've never really considered myself a trad Irish artist or a trad Celtic artist. There are always these influences, whether it be, you know, the fact that I've grown up in Alberta and country music is obviously very popular there, or whether it's having a great artist like John Reichman work on the album and bring some bluegrass influences as well.
And you have quite the blend of your own music and traditional songs. Mm-hmm. Danny Boy is on there. I think that's the final track, which
yep.
I actually think is a pretty good career move for somebody who is in the traditional and Celtic area, because it's a standard that people like to hear your take.
You know what's very interesting? I've heard both things. There are some people that love the song and are really pleased to have it on the album. And then, of course, a lot of the people that are musicians and industry, you know, oh my gosh, what an overdone song. I can't believe you're doing Danny Boy. But that being said, the version that I did on this album is me and guitar. We did it pretty much live off the floor, sort of old school recording that way. And it's a very unique arrangement of the song. It's not been done. So, there have been people that have said, you know, like, I can't believe you're doing that, but I really like that version.
Well, you know, I mean, with all cover versions, to me, the important thing is to do something different with it.
Right.
It's certainly, a Danny Boy is, I wouldn't call it an overdone song, but maybe that's just the fact that it speaks a little bit to my heritage. I'm not Irish, but certainly I love hearing that song. Also, the fact that you put it as the last track on the album, which is, if you're going to record a song like that, that is probably the place to put it. You have some other songs that you've covered, and one song that I think we'd like to play now is the song that you sing in French, which is V'là le bon vent. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So this is a song that my dad used to sing as a lullaby to my sister and I when we were little. His mother was French-Canadian, and I've always loved this song. The melody, the words are actually quite sad. It's about three ducks that are swimming in a pond, and the prince decides to go hunting, and he brings with him his big, beautiful gun made of silver. And as he's aiming for one of the black ducks, he misses and he shoots the white one. And the white one, as it's dying, blood comes from underneath its wings and diamonds from its eyes and gold and silver from its mouth. So it's pretty morbid, actually, for a lullaby. But it's just a song that I associate with being a child. And like I said, I love the melody. And so I decided to write a fiddle tune to go in the middle of it. And so that's the arrangement of Fle le Bon Vent.
So this is Fle le Bon Vent by Lizzie Hoyt. It's another track from her new album, New Lady on the Prairie. That's just been released. And I presume that the album is available in lots of different places. Do you want to just run through that just now?
Sure. My website, of course, has a store with PayPal and all that sort of thing if you want to pay with credit card. It's available on iTunes and CD Baby and so.
Yeah, that's great. Lizzie Hoyt, Fle le Bon Vent, from the album New Lady on the Prairie. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio at the Folk Music Ontario Conference, and I'm Jan Hall. That was V'là le bon vent by Lizzie Hoyt from her new album, New Lady on the Prairie. Lizzie is our special guest on Folk Roots Radio, live from the Folk Music Ontario Conference today. I'm Jan Hall. That is a beautiful, beautiful song. And what I like about an album like this is, particularly with a young artist, it's nice to be able to see that range of what you do. You know, the fact that we have that Celtic influence, we have the traditional influence, then you can bring in a little bit of an Acadian influence in there as well. I think it works really, really well.
Yeah, no, I'm really happy with it. And I know in a lot of ways it's nice when you do a recording to have it sort of all kind of live off the floor, and which is great. I know for a lot of these songs, though, I wanted to share my music in a few different ways. So if I was going to do the guitar parts and the fiddle parts, obviously I can't do that at the same time. But no, I'm happy with the blend of influences and with the sort of what I was able to share just in terms of an artistic level with the project.
Well, it's certainly a great album, and I'm really pleased that we had a chance to chat today. I do want to talk about a track that's actually not on this album. I think it's on the last album, Home. And that is your song about Vimy Ridge. Obviously, we've just had the anniversary of the Great War. It's a great song. I love the video. If you go to lizziehoyt.com, you can see the video for that. It's got a beautiful, beautiful video.
Thanks.
You also had a chance to go to Vimy Ridge. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that experience?
Yeah, the first time I went, I was doing a study abroad program in France. And while I was there, I happened to meet some other Canadian girls, and we were talking and decided to basically just go for a weekend trip to go to Vimy Ridge. And at the time, I didn't know a lot about it. You know, I knew the name, but that was about it. And it sounds cliche to say, but it was life-changing to go. We took a train from Lille, where we were living, to Arras, and then we had to take a bus to the town of Vimy, and then to Vimy, to the monument. There's no transportation, so we just started walking. And as we were leaving the town and coming up on the highway, this hatchback car pulled over to the side of the road, and an elderly gentleman got out, and he didn't speak any English, but he offered us a ride to the monument if that's where we were going. And so we went with him, and we had an amazing day there. You can walk through the trenches, the tunnels that are underground, and just there's a spectacular monument at the top of the hill. And anyways, at the end of the day, this same man, Monsieur Duflo, was actually in the parking lot to offer us a ride back as well. And he brought with him some books with pictures of the town of Vimy before and after the war. He brought us to see another Canadian cemetery. He brought us to see one of the German cemeteries in the area. And you've heard people say this, that the crosses seem to stretch forever when you're in these cemeteries. And the German cemetery specifically was just huge. They have dark sort of wooden crosses rather than the white tombstones that we're used to seeing on the Allied side. But Monsieur Duflo was telling us that at every single cross, there were four men buried. And I guess being there in person really brought to life that history for me. It made me realize that, you know, every young man that I happened to know at that time in my life would have been there if I had lived 100 years ago. So I became very interested sort of in the history and the personal side of that history, and thinking about, you know, the mothers and the fathers at home and the girlfriends or the sisters or the brothers or whatever, and really wanting to tap into that loss on a national level that we suffered at Vimy Ridge. So I wrote this song, and I was very honored that it won some awards, and so we decided to do a video on site and just trying to find ways to basically bring this history to Canadians, and especially Canadians of a younger generation.
Well, unfortunately, we can't play that song today. Mm-hmm. We're focusing very much on the new album, The New Lady of the Prairie. But if you go to lizziehoyt.com, you can watch the video, and you also have the lyrics in there as well, so people can can read those. I always like to ask this question of the musicians I interview, because I like to understand how people write their songs. Yeah. I have a couple of questions that come out of our discussion we've had today. The first and the easier question is that, are you somebody that tends to work on the melody for your songs and then think about the lyrics you're going to put to that? Or are you somebody that perhaps would write lyrics as poetry or as thoughts that eventually may form the structure for a song?
I don't start with the words. However, I often get a melody going in my head, but before I establish the melody, I've already got the idea for the words that go with that melody. So that could be a verse or a chorus. So often I will sort of be working out a melody in my head in conjunction with words. Once that melody is established and the words are chosen, I obviously use that melody for other verses or, I guess other verses, and then we'll compose a different melody for the chorus, that sort of thing. But I find that I like doing the melody and an idea of words together at the beginning for a few reasons. One is that I find that the emphasis of the syllables in the words fit the music better. And another one is that I like to have the melody of the music fitting the words in the song, and not in sort of a technical way, but just in terms of the feeling of what are the words saying? What sort of atmosphere do you want happening in the music? Did that make any sense?
That made a lot of sense.
Okay.
So when you're working on that melody, I mean, do you work on the melody with a guitar or with a piano, or how do you tend to do that?
Generally guitar. I've had a few ideas, you know, if I'm playing my harp, that sort of thing, something will come. But generally it's on the guitar.
I always wonder whether people will write like a snatch of melody down and then whether that's something you'll go back to, because songwriting is very much a process. And, you know, I know everybody's different, and there's some people who can start writing a song and they will stay in that space until it's written. And other people might come up with some ideas, you know, as you say, come up with an idea for a melody. Maybe it's only part of a verse or a chorus, and then go back to it later. Is that the way you would tend to work?
Very much so. Very much so. If possible, I like to get at least, you know, one or two lines sort of down, or a verse. But often I don't find that I finish things like that. The first few times, it's really coordinating the melody with the chord changes and the words. I spend a lot of time going back afterwards and fixing the words and editing the words to make the syllables fit better and have it more concise.
My second question was about the source material, because I get the impression that we just talked about Vimy Ridge. There are other songs that you've recorded, whether they're traditional songs or not, that have that historical aspect to them. Obviously, the first song we played at the start of this interview, New Lady on the Prairie, which is the title track from the new album, is a historical story from your own family. Do you like to focus on historical issues when you're writing?
I really do. And that's something that, again, has not been a decision. It's just been something that I find that I tend to find inspiration when I hear these things. So, for example, another song on this CD called The Pantheon, I was inspired after going to visit the Pantheon in Paris, where in the basement they have buried all these important characters in French history. The first verse is about les Justes de France, who are all the people that hid Jews in their homes during World War II, with incredible risk to their own lives and to their families. The second verse is about Jean Moulin, who was very influential in La Résistance in World War II. Again, he was captured twice by the SS and he was tortured, and he never revealed any of the secrets to the SS. And in fact, he died during his second capture. The third verse is about Marie Curie, who was, of course, the first woman to, complete a doctorate at the Sorbonne. She's, I don't think she was the first woman to receive a Nobel Prize, but she's still one of the only people to have received two Nobel Prizes in two separate fields of study. So, I mean, for me, I couldn't help but being down in this basement, walking around and reading these stories of these incredible people and thinking about their contribution to our lives now. So to me, I tend to find a lot of inspiration in those stories. And in terms of historical more story specific to, you know, one person or Vimy Ridge or New Lady on the Prairie. I love exploring the ideas and imagining what people would have felt like during these experiences, whether my great-great-aunt arriving all, you know, in the middle of sort of nowhere and that loneliness and what that would have sounded like to her and what it would have looked like. In the case of Vimy Ridge, it's told from the perspective of a loved one, but it's communicating that feeling of what I imagine these people would have experienced. I love trying to get into their, I don't want to say heads because it's not intellectual, but I love trying to get into their person somehow and communicate a very human feeling.
Now, another aspect of the CD we haven't had a chance to talk about yet, but we've played a couple of tracks from it already, and it's very obvious, is the musicianship. We mentioned the fact that I think you're playing guitar, fiddle, harp, and a little accordion on this, but you also have some great collaborators in there, and John Reichman, Ivan Rosenberg are on this CD. Do you want to talk a little bit about the collaborators and why you chose those people?
Yes. John played on the album and co-produced the project with me. And in terms of that decision, I knew that I wanted to have a collaborator, a producer who was a sensitive musician. I wanted someone, of course, that's technically proficient and great at what they do, but it was important to me to have someone that sort of understood this feeling concept, which I was just talking about. And of course, a nice person to deal with,
and
right?
And he plays mandolin, right?
He does play mandolin. He's a fabulous mandolinist. And you'll hear that on the album. I mean, there's some mandolin licks that are just gorgeous tone. Anyway, but that was a fairly obvious choice for me. I really wanted to work with him. And you're right. I mean, I wanted to invite musicians that were very accomplished, that are inspiring. It's inspiring for me to work with people that are better than me, you know? Joe Phillips, I know he's maybe not so well known because he's a bass player, right? He's not fronting a band, but Joe Phillips just blew me away, his bass playing on this project and seeing them in studio picking things up so quickly and coming up with great ideas. And then again, as I mentioned, really nice people to be around. Very, very important when you're in close quarters for 3 weeks.
And Ivan Rosenberg on dobro?
Ivan Rosenberg on dobro. I mean, he works with great musicians in the sort of bluegrass world. Of course, with people like Chris Cool. And I mean, there's not a lot of dobro on this project, but his name was a very immediate name that came up for both John and I when we were discussing people that we would maybe like to have work on it.
Yeah, to me, it's a great idea. I love the fact that you know, you say, well, hey, you know, I'm young, it's my third album, I'm still growing as a musician, and what better to do than surround yourself by all these other great musicians and mentors? You know,
absolutely.
It's interesting because we are at the conference, and a lot of what the conference is about, it's not just about networking and finding opportunities to share your music. It's also about mentoring, and there's a huge mentoring component in the folk world.
Yes, that's right. And of course, any recording project is a sort of a picture of a moment in time, basically, in your musical development. And I certainly feel that this is a stronger project than my previous one, and Home was stronger than my first album. And I'm hoping that my next album will be stronger than this one, right? This is not a done deal that, well, this is Lizzie Hoyt, New Lady on the Prairie, that's Lizzie Hoyt, and that's where it stays. I mean, this is a journey, and I hope, you know, there's still room to learn more and improve and grow and all that great stuff.
Tell us a little bit about the live experience. You've got the new CD. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about your live experience and what your plans are for the coming months.
Sure. I do tour quite a lot. I've done a lot of touring in Western Canada, right up to, you know, the northwestern coast of BC to northern Manitoba and everywhere in between. I really love to perform live. I feel that that's one of the places where my gifts are best showcased. And so for this album, I wanted to make sure that I had a live component to go with the release. So next weekend, as I mentioned, I'm doing two concerts in Alberta, one in Edmonton, one in Calgary. Those are my sort of home bases, and I wanted to start there. I've received such great support from people there. And then I'm touring into the Kootenay area of BC, and a few more dates in Alberta, and then I'm going to be coming out to Ontario for the first time. I'm playing Toronto and Ottawa, and then I'm heading to Montreal. So just a little three-day tour sort of in this neck of the woods, but I'm really pleased to have that because this is my first step into this market, and I'd love to do some more playing out here.
And you do have a Celtic flavor to the album. I'm wondering, have you had a chance to play much in Europe?
I haven't. I've done a few sort of one-off things, but that's another area I'd love to get going. Also because my sister lives in Europe, so it would be nice to have a paid visit to go and see her.
Well, I'm sure that will definitely come to pass. I wanted to thank you for spending the time to talk to us today. Just remind everybody how they can get a copy of the new album and how they can get in touch with you, where your website, etc.
Sure. So the CD is available basically online on my website, lizziehoyt.com/store. It's also available on iTunes and CD Baby through various organizations like that. And my website is updated regularly. That's a great place to find my tour dates and more information, videos, etc. And of course, I have a Lizzie Hoyt Music page on Facebook and Twitter, Lizzie Hoyt Music.
Well, I wanted to thank you for spending the time to talk to us today. We have time for one more song from the album. We've mentioned a lot of songs. And again, I want to encourage people listening to the show to check out the album. It is a really great album. It's getting a lot of buzz. And if you're interested in Celtic music, traditional music, or just really well-produced folk music, this is definitely an album to check out. What are we going to play?
Let's listen to Movement Never Lies. I wrote that a little bit inspired about living my life as an artist and being in it for those tens of dollars that we make.
Okay, that's great. This is Lizzie Hoyt from the new album, New Lady on the Prairie, and the song Movement Never Lies. And you've been listening to Folk Roots Radio, recorded live at the Folk Music Ontario Conference with my special guest, Lizzie Hoyt. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time.